Hallelujah. If you have some cloths, now's a good time. His presence is here. And this is for this. It's a good time. Hallelujah, Jesus. With the Apostle Paul, when he held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen, and Stephen said, "Hold not this to their charge," which included Paul. And that's all God needed to go after him on the road to Damascus. His heart was more sincere than you can imagine. He was killing off that move that had went against the one true living God. But boy, when God knocked him down on the road to Damascus and said, "It's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? You can't beat a cactus up. You know, it's hard, isn't it? Who is this? Jesus?" Yes. But boy, what an advocate Paul became. So much so as he would preach in the aprons and cloths, and people just took him all over Asia Minor. And wherever they brought him, this man had opened heaven. These things got results. They were healed and devils left. I've seen many, many reports come back. Many reports. Never will forget the one child. We put the cloths in the book. I told about this the other night. Just little cloths, and we gave 1,000 books away. Little girl carried it home, and the grandma was sick. Little girl opens the book in Portuguese and starts reading and got filled with the Holy Ghost and started reading out loud in English. Then she took the little prayer cloth and laid it on her grandma. And she got up out of the wheelchair. Hallelujah. So if you've got any more, now's the time to bring them. Okay. Bronk, anybody you'd recommend? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a form of communication. Father, in Jesus' name now, I thank you for that anointing. And whenever these are laid on any kind of disease, they'll be healed and devils will come out. And Father, I thank you and glorify you with all our heart for what you're doing to every piece of cloth, every article here. We know the cloth's not doing it, but the authority that it represents in the releasal of faith, that's what's doing it. It just tracks it to the source and turns the power loose. Hallelujah. Don't it accord in a mitomacho coran shoko randolo coda? Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ooh, watch out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, form of communication. They didn't have telephones, TVs. It's the only way they could get word and deliver the power. Hallelujah. But we know roomfuls of people are going to get healed if they got a television set in a room or a radio. We already know that. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're going to hear testimonies. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I surrender back. You may be seated whenever you're done. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. And you can come and get these at the end. Nobody falls out under the power on the altar. We're going to give you another opportunity here, which to me is it's just as holy as anything else, but then that's all that I know. And when I first went full time, we run out of everything. And I caught for a friend of mine as a catcher. You know, I can beat myself up, I can catch. You know, wrestle bulls down, ride horses, you know, just normal everyday farm life. I was championship on my destroyer for arm wrestling until I ran into Tackett. I was doing real good. He had arm about this long. He looked like Popeye. His arms was about to here, and I'd crank my hand over like that. When he took a hold of my hand, he almost crushed all the bones. I knew I had it. Thinking about those days. And I'd went full time. We run out of everything. So I caught for this guy. So I'd catch for him and catch him, catch him. And I had to catch a ride down there. I didn't have any gas or anything. And so I said, I'll be back. I got this ride. I'm going to go catch for Brother Wickham and Salem Morgan. So, just one time was I ever pinned. But I think she weighed about 400 pounds. My little feet and hands were sticking out, but I got rescued. So I'm catching, and this guy kept looking at me funny. You know what? My God was, I believe in. I had Hagen tapes and Earl Hitchin in my corner. I was a Hagenite. Can I help you, sir, with anything? I don't need any, thank you. Do you have any needs? No, I don't have any needs. I got Jesus. He kept looking at me. He says, well, here, God told me to do this. Not the guy talking to me, somebody else. God told me to do this, and he handed me a note. I don't particularly like that he handed notes by guys, you know. But I hope. I said, I wonder what it's. And I started opening it up, and it's a check. Well, I wasn't used to getting checks. You don't open them up and read them in front of them. Oh. I heard that is not manners. So I went, oh, when I saw it was a check, put it in my pocket, and then I waited till nobody's looking. And then I darted for the restroom. $7.36. Great. That's just great. $700. I just hadn't seen a figure that big before. $736. I made a big mistake when I got home. I patted it all the way home. I'd reach up and it was still there. I made a big mistake waking Rosalie up and telling her. I was up all night. What? Yes. Oh, man, I went down to the little store who was charging. Paid them off. Paid the back rent. Paid all the bills that was due. Had $100 to give away. And still had $100 in my pocket, and I thought I died and went to heaven. You got to remember, this was 40 years ago. $700. I just lifted my hands up and wept and says, God, you're so good. That's the time I had to break down and said, I'd kill to do this. And you provide this. Oh, he did. I've had things like leaving with an empty tank and getting flagged down before I could get out of town and a handful of money shoved in my hand. I says, I'll do it. But see, for him to be able to do anything, he is. He is. He said, say that I am has sent you. Well, I am is simply the sum total of everything that is. And when he becomes to you, everything that is, he is your sum total. He's already provided everything you need. And I know that you are who you said you are when you said, I am. So is my needs met? Yes. Oh, yes.
What if they wasn't? You think I'd go around bragging on the devil?
Oh, yes. So I come to know inside what a great privilege it is to give. And through the years, I've taken notice to how much God pays attention to it. When he was instructing the unjust steward who canceled debtors' debts against his master so that he could go live at their house and maybe be their steward after he was fired for wrongdoings. Jesus said, this man's wiser than most children of light. Wiser. But I say unto you five words that'll make you wiser than he ever dreamed of being. But I say unto you, to who? The children of light. He said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail and your life is over, every person born again from your liberality will be waiting for you with a thankfulness that can only be measured by eternity. Come on. You made it possible for the person that has that ministry to rescue them, possibly. We don't know who can track all that but God. But when I found out there's a way to get people saved where I wasn't, it would still go on to my account. Made me cry. I can see some that think their great rewards are due to them and they walk into heaven. Where's the waiting room? I'm receiving my glorious reward. Oh, here it is. Hey, Angel, would you mind putting that up on the screen again, that work I did in Brazil? I'd just like to see that one more. Would you put it up there? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder when Jesus will be here and I'll get my reward. My God, I wiped half a continent out. Woo! All of a sudden the door opens. This little believer comes in. I said, excuse me, can I help you?
Yes, Jesus told me to come here.
Well, this is my reward room.
Well, he told me to come.
Well, I got a whole continent saved. What'd you do?
You don't remember?
No.
I cleaned the west wing of your auditorium that seated 100,000.
Oh, you're a cleaning lady?
Yes.
Why'd you come in here?
To get my reward, Jesus said.
About that time, the door opens up and Jesus comes in. I go, psst, psst. Excuse me. There's a cleaning lady in here. said, "That's right, son. I told her to come. And I'll tell you something. You ought not think of yourself more high than you're thinking of." He said, "That woman spent untold hours praying over every chair, poking pins in the map everywhere you were going. That woman kept you alive. And what are you trying to tell me now? Well, I got all this. You got them? You're just a delivery boy. I'll take it now." Come on. Come on. We just don't know. We just don't know. All the ministries working together, all the measures, the measure of faith working together makes up the one true and living body of Christ. But you know, to get the body parts turned against each other, and the ear.
Well, I got something against the eyes.
What?
Well, look at me. The women folks just hang stuff all over me. I don't have to carry stuff when I'm off. And the eyes, look, the coloration, the decoration. They even talk with them.
Would you go out with me?
No.
Your women folk just didn't. What do you do? Cover me up under hair and hang things out. I got somewhat against the eye and I want some justice. Well, what body part would you like to go without? Then give to it its due. We need all of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, whoo, I guess we need some pans up here. I used to call them buckets, but not him. He puts whole sinks out. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, if you want to give tonight, just come on up and do it. If you don't, I will survive. I will survive. I will survive. I went to India. And Miss Daisy was back in the States. She picked up balm in her spirit and stayed on her face until it was diffused. At the end of the meeting, they found the balm that night in the meeting, and it failed to go off. She disarmed it. So don't sit right there in Miss Daisy's chair. And one of the greatest faith journeys that you can make is from here to where you believe that He is everything that He said He is when He said, "I am." I like that. So I want you to open with me to Romans. 10th chapter would be good. Romans 10. Most of you are not used to me doing this, so you Hallelujah, Jesus. I like being written epistles too, you know. Hallelujah. So just stay along with me. I'll start with the first verse. And so let's lay a little bit of ground for tonight. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer. No, it's 10th chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who will ascend into heaven? That's to bring down Jesus Christ from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That's to bring up Christ from the dead. Well, what says faith now? What says it now? The word is near you. It's nigh you. It's here. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession is made unto salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference in the law of the Jew or Greek. The same Lord is rich over all that call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord, he shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they do not believe? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, this gospel of peace he talked about, and also bring glad tidings of good things. So he wasn't just talking about those laws for being born again. If you believe in your heart, God's raised him from the dead. He says, and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. But then he says, well, how shall they hear? How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel of good news, of good things. So he just didn't include being born again. What he was saying worked for everything. So he says, say not in your heart, who's going to bring Jesus down from heaven? And who's going to ascend into the deep to bring him up again? He's not going to come back like that. He's not going to come back and be crucified again, and nobody's going to raise him from the dead. He's already done that once and provided everything that he's going to provide for you. So don't say in your heart, who's going to bring him down from heaven and provide this healing for me? And who is going to ascend into the deep and raise him from the dead? He's already healed you. He's already done all he's going to do. What we need to do is stop and find out how to receive from him what he's already done. So he said, say not in your heart. I got sick. Who's going to bring him down again so he can pray for me and I'll be healed? Who's going to raise him from the dead again so I can be set free? He's not going to come back and provide it a second time. Sometime along the way, we're going to have to learn how to stop, dig in, and receive what he has done for us because he loves us. Why would he give us that formula? Said, speak with your, confess with your mouth, and believe with your heart, and you'll be born again. And whatever these guys bring to you, the tidings of good things, all these things you can have, but the principle's the same. You have to believe with your heart, and speak with your mouth. I believe I have received it. Well, whenever we get sick or something, we'll say, we think sickness at times. Get in a position where he'd like to just kill you tomorrow. He'd like to shut my mouth up, but he's not able to do that. He could, he would, so don't worry about me. So you're talking awful tough. I don't care. I'd have been dead 2 or 3 times by now. So I got to stop and find out how to receive what he's already provided, because obviously he's not going to come back and do it again. And even to administer it, a member of the Godhead has come, the precious Holy Spirit. See, he said, if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, I'll have what I say. What does confessing with my mouth have to do with it? See, I didn't understand that till he taught me about meditation and assimilation. I didn't know I could subject myself to something long enough that some kind of change made place in me that brought me from not being able to believe to being able to believe. Trust me when I say the moment you believe, that's when you get it. They don't hold back on you. The devil tries to teach you little parable fairy tales.
Well, that was God's plan for you to get run over by that truck.
My God, if it's that bad here, how's it going to be in hell? I had to know him. I said, what? What's the difference in me saying it? Every time opposition comes, I say, nope. No, I've already been healed and I haven't.
But you don't.
I didn't. Yes, I do.
Well, I still see it on you. I don't care. I have it.
Why? I'm calling those things that are not as though they are because they are, because He said they are when they wasn't. Thank you. Just repeat it. I can't. I wanted to know how that worked. See, Psalms 1 and 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, set not in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the Word of God, and in it does he meditate. How much? Day and night. Day and night. Like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, root system sinks in, and there's no failures of withered leaves or fruit. Every due season, this tree produces. I says, God, I don't get to meditate day and night time. How would a guy do that and drive? When you assimilate the Word, you read it over and over, a book. And what that does is prepares you for day and night meditation. Galatians, Ephesians, and oh my God, over here in Ephesians, look at this. There's a prayer. It opened Galatians. Ooh, and both of them opened up Romans. Meditation will begin to take place day and night. But something more will happen. You'll go from somebody that can't believe to somebody that does. And that road is as sovereign and finished and directly through the healing power at the cross as the cross itself. You get on it. You can get there. Now, I knew that guys that would confess and confess and confess would get it. I didn't understand the laws that govern it, I think. And,
well, you think you'll be heard for your much speaking?
I didn't understand. Boy, I tell you what made me jump on that like a bug on a stick. Was I heard this testimony. Their son grew up. He couldn't move. He's paralyzed. But he grew. And when the father would leave in the morning, he'd take him into the front room where his wife would have room, and he'd lay him on the rug. He'd go to work and she would come in and take him by the legs like this and just lean back and say, you're healed. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. I'm calling you healed. I'm calling you healed, boy. She did that hour. After they'd say in Portuguese, ore apazori, ore apazori, apazori. Hour after hour. Month after month. Weeks. Years. She said, you know what I'm believing for now? That he'll have a special talent. And use it for God. This woman's unstoppable. Day after day. No. No, he's healed. He's healed because you said he is. In Jesus' name, he's already healed. I just want to worship you and thank you for it. My God, my son. Look at him. He's so active. He's healed. He's healed. One night, like any other night, he went to bed. All of a sudden. Did you leave the radio on? No. Did you leave something on? Well, no. Well, there's something coming out of the other room that sounds like the fifth cantata of Bach. What is it? Good Lord, they went in there and found her son sitting on the piano bench playing. They lost it. when they got control of themselves, they said, "What happened is when you put me to bed tonight, Jesus came in my room. First, he sat down on the edge of the bed, but then he just laid down for a little bit and talked to me. Then when he got up, we got up together." So come on, what does it do? What does it change? When you say the truth over and over, what does it do to you? How come we can go from not believe to believe? Is there something that takes place in me? Did I finally move God, or was He already moving and I moved myself? Oh, you moved yourself. He's already done it. Don't say, who's going to send Him? Who's going to raise Him from the dead? Who's going to pray Him back down to do what? Provide it again? Let me tell you what happens. The start is how we entered into this a little bit the other day. If you read a paragraph, unless you have a photographic memory, and I can take that away from you and say, quote it back. You just read the paragraph, quote it back. I can't. So what if you read it 30 times? Yeah, I could do it then. If your brain had that capacity, why didn't it do it the first time? It certainly wasn't hurting the capacity. What changed to where you couldn't do that and then you can? Does anything else change? Yes. You didn't talk Him into nothing. You went from not believing to believing. Does a child, 6 years old, crawl out on an airplane wing of a missionary and say, "This is my faith. This is my confession. I am going to learn the language of this country." He doesn't do anything. He just runs around and assimilates it. He doesn't even know how. But here he is talking this language. You want to slap him, you know. What happened? How did he reach out and assimilate and do something that was impossible almost? And can we really harness that? Yes. These Texan oil magnates, they're so rich that they can't stand themselves. One of them says, "I got holdings in Great Britain, England. I have to go for the next 20 years or so, my side of the family over there, and watch over my holdings, my old friends. Y'all ride on now. I'll see you directly." Oh, and the time goes by. 20 years, 25 years has elapsed. Then they hear their old friend is back in town. He wants to meet with them down at the Horseshoe Restaurant. They come in and there he is, sitting over at the table. Both of them come in and are staring across the table at him. He's sitting there looking back at them. They get a 5-pound coffee mug and they're going... And he's sitting over there going, "Well, old friend, it's been a long time, hasn't it?" He's getting a little nervous. He picks his tee up. Come on, this big. His little pinky's sticking out. "What is this, old partner of mine? In Texas, we eat cups that size. Huh? What's happened to you? You changed." He says, "Tolly, hold the
fox and all that kind of rot. My companion. My God, what changed in you? Where'd you get that accent? You said you wasn't going to pick that up. He tried not to. But he assimilated. Everything changed in him where he could carry out that accent without even trying or knowing. Can I put that to work for me? Yes, sir. Same thing will start happening in you when your inner man lays hold in your whole system and you find out what you're believing for. And you hold that pattern and keep repeating it over and over. And the truth that you are repeating is going to transform you to what He said. It's not going to get away from it. You'll go from not believing to believing. And when that happens, you're going to walk away. Hallelujah, Jesus. This guy got broke up. Probably playing some sport. Smashed his whole hip and everything. They said, boy, you're really in trouble. And he said, no, I'm healed. I got God. Boy, he just staggered around, fell all the time for years, lost everything. His friends tried to tell him, go get a whole thing put in, for crying out. No, I've already been healed. I've been healed. Thank you. I've been healed. Okay. Oh, yeah. By the way, we're going duck hunting. You want to go? Well, sure. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. They all grab their guns out of the truck, and he grabs his and goes a couple of feet and falls down. They look back, and he says, oh, go on. I'll catch you. So they go ahead, killing innocent ducks and stuff. So he grabs his gun, pushes himself back up, lifts his hands and thinks, God, oh, I'm so healed. What would I do if I were? Thank God I'm healed. Boy, what would I do if I were? They're looking. Great. You know, all of a sudden, they're getting ready to shoot one. He's standing right there. He just walks over like this. They said, what happened? He says, on one of those times, I was trying to pull myself up, something like a bolt of lightning or something just come out, just pow, hit me and knocked me down. And when I got up, How long was he at it? What changed? Is truth really truth? Say not who is going to ascend into heaven and bring him down again. Who's going to raise him from the dead again? We want him to provide all those things for us today. He's not going to do it. It's already done. Oh, sure, there's people that have ministries of miracles and things, but I got news for you. It's yours individually. You can go get it. You can go get anything that you need. You just have to find out how to go from not believing it to believing it. And you don't do that sitting around talking unbelief. Hallelujah, Hallelujah Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, I can hardly stand it. Have you got healed of anything? Yeah. Yeah. You know how many hundreds of times I started it for a meeting? And I shouldn't have. But I did anyway, because I was healed. In 40 years, I missed one meeting because somebody was there to teach it. And I have to admit, I didn't feel so hot. So if I had a way out of it, I'd have rather taken it home and worked on it. But that one I gave away. I could have preached it in a nothing. I have yet to miss a meeting because of sickness that wouldn't let me go. I started in ultra holiness. I missed work because I was wondering what I did wrong to get so beat up and sick. And come to find out, nothing. The devil did it. When I quit blaming him, that was a good first step. I went from that to a Hagenite in faith. To Hagenite at the same time, to praying in tongues, to praying in tongues, to understanding mysteries. To understanding mysteries is to the faith that makes it work. That's why I can teach you now. You can't call yourself something that God has called you. And keep stating it as the truth that He's issued. You can't keep doing it and stay the same. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've discovered something here about worship. And sometime when there's nobody to help you, it gets pretty dry at times when you're going, do you like your life? Yes, I do. Is there a bored moment? Hey, I know myself. I don't bore me. Come on. I can be speaking the word all day long and be happy about it because I don't bore myself. You think you like me? I like me. But I'll tell you what helps is when you write a song about it. I'm so whole. Hallelujah. Then just break into worship because you're so whole, and then write another lyric. And I'm so lyriced. Hallelujah. But stay in there because it's changing you. Because it's truth and it can change you. Because He wants you to have what He provided for you even more than you do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the Garden of Eden, I discovered the whole picture of His love, you know, and it just almost did me in. I got a glimpse of the whole thing for a minute, and it was almost too much. I'm glad He slowed down. But it was in the judgment when He... We were talking about it the other day. How that Adam and Eve ate of the apple, and I hope you know that they were using things as types. Satan wasn't a stick with a mouth on it. I mean, he's got a big mouth. That's about all he can get. Still, he was not a stick with a mouth on it. But anyway, the typology was really correct. It made you know what was going on. But Adam and Eve fell, and he says, "Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Don't you know I can't lie? I can't. I can't lie. You knew that. I told you you would die. Why did you do it?" Well, they give an explanation.
We got beguiled.
The next one he turned on was the devil. He began the judgment. This is the part I like about it the best. Born of woman will be the seed that'll bruise your head. Now, destroyed him that had the power of death. Hebrews says, even the devil. That's what he destroyed over us. The power of death. So before he could do anything else, he had to prophesy 4,000 years into the future and promise the birth of his own son because he couldn't lie. He stood there loving him. And because he can't lie, He had to go through all those steps, waiting endlessly for century after century, wars, floods, murders, killings. And then institute the law, which is what food you could eat and not eat, and who could approach God, and the holiest of holies, and what all these types were, endless genealogies. And he put up with all of it because he loved you. And he wasn't going to lose you. He put up with all of it. So here, many had to speak that far into the future and know his death was going to pay. And that freed him to move. And the first sacrifice was the animals that he clothed Adam and Eve with the skins. The blood was shed. That was Jesus' type. And they were the first ones that he met the needs of. But before that, he couldn't. He couldn't. Why'd you do it? But he loved you enough to meticulously go down through time, lining everything up for the day Jesus would die for you. Then we go into his presence. After he did all of that, and we go into his presence and act like he's not going to answer. Act like he's not hearing us and he's not going to answer our prayer. Come on. You're the only reason he did it. All of you were in Adam's DNA. You're the only reason. You think one person's over another? You think he loves somebody else better than you? He meticulously crossed the dots, circled the I's. Meticulously. To get you back. Don't let the devil talk you into one moment of time that he don't hear you when you go talk to him. And that he doesn't move. Come on. That's the only reason I'm still here, is he keeps moving, Lord, through Miss Daisy and the guy that tried to beat me up and on the things that should have killed me and they didn't. I'm going to get done first, then I'll go home. Don't worry about it, devil. I'll go home when I'm ready. But meanwhile, I'm going to torment. So I caught a glimpse. I know he loves me. He did all of that because he can't lie. There was no other way. He can't lie. If he can't lie, then what will he do for you when you believe something he said is true? Come on. He can't lie. So he gave us the most powerful thing that he has, his word. I give you my word. Oh my God. Whatsoever things you believe when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you shall have them. Woo! Of course, it's got to line up with certain things.
Well, what's his name? Call me a name. Kill him.
Oh, shut up. That's not an impolite word. It's just a used word. It means no more noise. Hallelujah. How do you feel? Woo, as good as I did 50 years ago. Shake it up, baby, now. I heard that through a Radio Shack window. I got proof. I got caught in a Radio Shack and they took a picture. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Why do you think he did it?
Because it was me. Oh, I thought you thought he played favorites. Oh, no. No, he doesn't. Sometimes he'll go do something for somebody and you go,
well, why them and not me?
Probably because somebody prayed for him. The way we talk, oh God, he showed me favor. What? I mean, here you are just standing there like everybody else, and for no reason he come and exalted you high above him and gave you favor. When you get blessed in God, you do have his favor. But he doesn't love one more than another and just picks you out because of the shape of your head and shows favor on you. God just, showed me favor and I made millions and millions and gave it to the gospel. And I suppose he didn't show the same favor to others that wanted to make millions and millions and give it to the gospel. How come he picked you?
I don't know. I really didn't want to do it.
You liar. Now, we do have callings that are different one from another, but the people isn't different one from another. Just callings. Say,
well, I'd like to be called as a mighty apostle.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him beat you up five times and see if you wanted to stay there. You better watch what you
have. I want to be a mighty man.
Sure you do. Hallelujah. Why don't you grow up with him? And then you'll make it in whatever you become. Yes? Hallelujah. Don't you just love him? He is who he is, and he said what he said, and he does what he said because he is who he is when he said, I am. You want to repeat that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hi. I understand that. Yes, I can. I can get so excited over something. And I only know it as it exists in Him. Why? Because I know if it exists in Him and is promised to us, that it'll exist with me then. Hallelujah. And I found out His love has different levels of declaring war on unbelief, sin, devils, and sickness. In fact, the highest realm of declaring war is in the fullness of His love. That's where the failure stops. That's where the hospitals full of little children are emptied. And I am pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high call. Hallelujah. I can't stand it. Would to God that about 12 apostles would just walk through here and be from the Lamb and just tear disease up. Leave the whole city born again with the mayor. Electing Jesus as mayor. Hallelujah. It happened in the past. It can happen again. But you have to have people wake up. This is not something you endure. This is something you do. How do I want to spend my 100 years? Feeling sorry for myself, falling down over here and getting up again? No. I'm going to use my 100 years to fill heaven up. Hallelujah. When are you going to quit preaching? When I don't live here. As long as I'm living here, I got my space suit. When I look in a mirror, it threatens me. I just tell it to shut up. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. If I had ballet shoes on, I'd go, no, that's opera. Oh, I got it mixed up. I like those guys.
There's a woman sitting there and her eyes are real big and he's standing up by her. And he's going, oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And she's going. There's like mass. They're singing in Italian or something. God forbid the mass would be in English and you'd understand it. What'd Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What? Go and preach. I don't think you're supposed to hold up and shut up. Well, I'm taking a vow of silence. Oh, God, what do you mean? Go and preach the gospel. What are you going to do? I'm taking a vow of silence. I guess. I'm sorry. Just got carried away. Religion just gets me. I got to hear, you know, some really good teaching today and stuff from a previous altar boy. Yeah, altar girl, but not quite the same calling. You know, that's why they call them nun, because they're not altar boy. Because none of them are. Okay. I just can't help it.
Well, you'll be punished for talking like that.
Don't hold your breath. Look, see how hard they're laughing over here? She's from the church. My church, prayer center. She's not paid to do this. It's really funny. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, whispering victory. I'm on my way to heaven, don't want you to hear I'm free. I'm on my way to heaven.
The boss might not forgive me.
So I'll keep it quiet with all my might. I'm on the way. God bless you. Do you rap only at Christmas? One night I was half asleep and dreamed I was in Bethlehem and ended up under a Christmas tree after following a star. Okay, you're all healed. You know what to do. And you're full of joy. Good to see you that way. Remember, the devil's just a snake with a mouth on it. Abigail isn't a high-profile woman. She sits quietly in her corner till something strikes her. Then you can hear her across two auditoriums. Sometimes I appreciate her a lot because she's the only one doing this. The rest are looking at each other and me. Did you know that's the kind of faith What did he sing? Oh, poor, poor world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let peace... Yes, that's what I said. Some of you'll notice you lost your pain through this. Some of you even lost aught. It's time to say things like, if you knew the drastic effect that aught had on answered prayer, you'd stop right now. See? You got sober, didn't you? Some of you think it's funny, but religiously you don't want to be guilty of laughing. He's done some great things in these meetings. I had a good time. And right now, I know that if you choose something you really need or you really would like Him to bring to pass, and this I know that I can come into agreement and add myself to it. And whenever somebody says, agree with me, and I have to tell them, you've got to understand. Whatever happens to you, I'm not turning loose of my half. I will not. I don't know how to. So it's going to happen somewhere down the line. He said, when two or more gathered together in my name, He's in the midst of us to do what? Carry it out. One time I thought, and this is part of it, if one gets weak in it, the other can hold him up until they get through it. But you have to know how powerful a prayer this is. Don't give it to him like, oh, I hope it happens. That's not faith. Faith is the substance already for the thing you're hoping for. Yeah, but I don't have it. Yes, but you have the substance of it. So it's going to come. Now, faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. And it's all the evidence I need of the thing I can't see. So my faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. What have you filled your hope up with? The Word of God painting a picture of what I got. That's what my hope is full of. Give more discuit, is it? So why don't you stand up for a moment? Give yourself a minute to think. What do you need? Is it something for your body? Give it to Him. You know, if even your weight, you say, I don't like my weight even. I've been there. Do you think that He's not going to operate in a grace that's so powerful that you make it past what you not made it past before just because something isn't giving up on it until it happens? So you get that ready. You get it ready to hand over. You know, I'm about ready to cry because I know some of you received it a whole lot better this round, and you know that you know now it's going to happen. So when I get to the part where I says, I give this to you in answered prayer, give it to Him. Father, You've done many things for us. And one of the greatest is You've made prayer available through the power of the Holy Spirit and answered prayer to Your name. Oh, Father, right now, every one of us, we have something we want to hand over to you. Something that we're calling done. So we're going to give it to you to be answered. And we're not taking it back. Nor are we letting up. We're receiving the substance of faith for this thing. And the one thing we know, that it is done. In Jesus' name now, I leave it with you. I leave it with you. And I see it done. Whew. Yeah. He added a lot to my life by me obeying Him and doing something that He ordered me to do. And that was when He started reversing things gently that I needed to start stopping. So I hope and I believe He was able to take care of everything that could be taken care of this week. And we will be back. It's been my pleasure to serve you from His table. And I almost got to loving you so much I called Rosalie up and tell her to move. We want to help Bronk. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Hallelujah. One more time. Praise God.